You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach. Today, we're going to deal with what happens when we get someone who is upset, who is disgruntled, who is not happy with the service that we provided, maybe the expectations that we've set, or maybe they're just not happy at all. And we're going to talk about that today. How do we deal with that when it's our fault, when it's not our fault, when it's their fault, when it's someone else's fault? How do we deal with people who are upset? And today, I really want to dive into this because this is something I'm passionate about. I see this way too many times, and this is a mistake made by most companies. Even when they do things right most of the time, they mess this one up. And I want to make sure we get it because we have to remember that it's our opportunity. We have started a business for opportunity. We have offered jobs for opportunity. We are making the phone ring for opportunity. It's an opportunity. Every single thing is an opportunity. And when you are in life and you're living in this world, you need to make sure that you treat opportunities with respect, that you make sure that you're not shortcutting yourself on opportunities. And this is the mistake I see. This is what I see happen. But emotion gets involved and pride gets involved and logic goes out the window and it's no longer an opportunity. It's a war, and we have to win that war. And I just want to say that is a mistake. We're going to deal with that today. What we do with that, what do we do when people are upset? Again, what do we do when they're upset with us and it's not our fault versus when it is our fault? And does it even make a difference? And I tell you right now, you know, it will make a difference in maybe how we deal with it mentally and how we process what our solution is going to be, but it doesn't make a difference in how we deal with it as we respond emotionally to the customer. And I think that's such the big mistake right there is the emotion that we allow inside of the day-to-day. If you were to think back to the most upset you've ever been with a customer, and then, you know, maybe that was a month ago, maybe that was a week ago, maybe that was a couple of years ago, and you were to now say, well, how is that affecting me today? You'd probably say, unless it was today or a couple of days ago, you'd probably say it isn't. Yeah, in fact, I don't even think about it. It's a story now. It's funny, actually, that you mention it. But why not in the moment? In the moment, it's the end of the world. In the moment, it's I can't be taken advantage of. In the moment, it's And we find ourselves fighting a war that we wouldn't even identify as a war when logic comes back into play, meaning we never would have thought that that was that big of a deal until it was. And so we're going to deal with that today. How do we handle that? What are the different reasons that it can even show up at our front door? And make no mistake, how you handle the things when they go wrong will greatly impact the reputation of your company. Oftentimes, I always tell owners and salespeople and companies and employees and just anyone dealing with the public, look, it's okay to make a mistake. That's normal. We expect to make mistakes. Mistakes happen. It's what we do when we make that mistake that matters, that separates us. It's not the circumstances of life that dictate the human. It's how the human deals with the circumstances of life that determines who that person really is. And that's what I want to really flesh out today. Now, before we go too far into this, I just want to make a couple quick mentions. If you're not following the podcast, make sure you do. You know, you're probably listening to us somehow, some way you found us, but we are on Google, we're on Apple, we are on Spotify, we're on everything, Stitcher, Podbean. I don't know. I can't even keep up with them all, but we're on all the major platforms. Also, we have a TikTok channel, an Instagram channel, and a Facebook channel. We put out tons of free tips, coaching, strategies for owners, for employees, for salespeople, specifically in the context of service plumbing. But honestly, this stuff applies to every industry, every field, whether it's service related or not. Now, when I think of service, I think of first and foremost, the employee is the first customer. So if you're an employer out there and you have employees, you could learn something from this. If you've got employees that are serving customers, you could really learn something from this because these are the things that I've learned over the years as I've owned my own businesses. And some people ask me, what's my experience? Well, I've started three different businesses now that have done over $1 million, multiple millions of dollars. And I've started them all from scratch, three different industries, and then sold them off. And here we are with my third one. This is the coaching business that we do online, teaching other people how to run their service plumbing company. But I also ran some service plumbing companies, helped them go from $14,000 a week to $50,000 a week in a short amount of time. And through that process, I learned the game, not of just service, specifically service plumbing. And so that's why we keep our information in that. And that's who we work with, the service plumbing companies. Okay, but we're on all kinds of platforms. You can check us out, follow us everywhere. We also do workshops. We do schools. We do all kinds of stuff. In fact, we got a school coming up May 5th, May 6th. Water heater, water softener school right here in Indianapolis. Early bird pricing's already sold out, but we do have some spots left. Make sure you go to raisemyticketaverage.com and you can check out the school for plumbing, water heaters, and water softeners. It's going to be amazing. We're going to talk about the product. We're going to talk about how to communicate it to the customer in a way the customer understands. We're also going to talk about sales practices, service practices, how to run the call the right way, all those things that are related to that water heater and water softener. And I just want to make sure that when you come to these events, you're ready. This is not a fluff event with a bunch of speakers. This is straight information and teaching. So be ready. Be prepared. This ain't the party event. This ain't the event you go to get away for the weekend. This is the event you come to get built up, get better, and go back and be more. That's what we're about. Okay, that's why we don't do our events in Vegas. That's why we don't do our events situations like that. We want to get something out of it. So that's what we got coming up. That's what we got going on. Make sure you're following us and checking us out. Let's dive into this today. Okay, let's dive into this. Here's rule number one when you're dealing with a disgruntled customer. And then let me just be very clear. When a customer wakes up and they have to call a plumbing company, they're already disgruntled. They're not happy about it. It's not something that they want to do. Other than, hey, I'm thinking about buying a tankless, or I'm thinking about upgrading and getting a softener. Can you come give me a quote? Something like that. I'm thinking about remodeling my bed. Other than that, most people are not excited to call a plumber. They didn't want to have to call a plumber. They had to call a plumber. Yeah, they love you. Yeah, they like you. Oh my gosh, my customers love seeing me. They only love seeing you when they have to. I mean, how many times have they called you? Hey, I don't have a plumbing problem, but I was just wondering if you can come by today and hang out for a couple hours. Can I get an arrival time? No, that never happens. So they only want to talk to you because they have a plumbing problem. And they might like you because you're a plumber and you can solve their problem. But make no mistake, this is not what they planned. This is not what they're excited about. This is not what they want to do. So you could make the argument that they're already disgruntled before we even meet them or before we interact with them. But if they're truly upset with us specifically, well, that's a whole nother level. But in either case, I still have this first rule, and that is this, that I'm apologetic. I'm apologetic. When someone calls up and says, hey, can I get on your guys' schedule? I got a water heater that's leaking through my ceiling. I'm apologetic. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry you're going through that. I hate that you're going through that. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't do that. I didn't create that scenario for them. I didn't cause that problem, but I'm still apologetic in nature. I still genuinely feel bad for them. I'm empathetic. Like, if you can't be empathetic, you should not be dealing with people, specifically people who are paying you. Okay, if you're not empathetic, you should not be dealing with people, specifically people who are paying you. Okay, you should be dealing with things and objects, products, maybe become a coder, something like that, but you should not be dealing with the end user. Okay, so empathy is a huge deal. Empathy requires you to be in a posture that it's not about you, it's about them, and you feel apologetic. You feel bad. You didn't do it, but you still feel bad for them. You're empathetic. Some of that is sympathy. We've talked about that before. What's the difference between sympathy and empathy? Sympathy is pulling up next to a homeless person on the side of the freeway as you get off the exit, maybe feeling bad for them, maybe even handing them 10 bucks. But empathy is forgetting what you had for the rest of the day, parking your car, getting out and joining them in their situation. That's empathy. Mentally, being empathetic with the person over the phone. That's the first step, being apologetic. Okay, it requires empathy. You have to do it because the customer's calling in and they're frustrated, they're upset. And if there's a misunderstanding or maybe they have a bad just expectation in general, you've got to uncover that. And they are not going to want to hear what you have to say until they know you care. They are not going to want to hear your solution. They're not going to want to hear anything until they know that you first care. And then the second thing is they have to be understood. So they have to know you care. And then the second thing is they have to be understood. That means that you have to listen to them. And when you listen to them, you're not looking for moments to interject. You're not looking for moments to get your point across. You're not looking to correct their thinking. You're just looking to understand it. You're just looking to understand it. So you're asking questions. You're apologetic. So let's say the customer calls up and says, yeah, you guys said you were going to be here at 8 and be done by 10. And you're like, oh, no, that's not what it was. We said we'd be out there between 8 and 10. It was an arrival time. Your technician didn't get here till 8:08. Now I could easily be like, well, wasn't the arrival time between 8 and 10? I could do that. That's not going to get me anywhere. They're not in the right frame of mind to hear that. So I'm going to say, oh, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry that we did that. I'm not sure what happened. Did you think that we were going to be there at 8? What time are you expecting us to be? I thought you guys were going to be right at 8, and then you thought we were going to be done by, I thought you guys were going to be done by 10. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I do apologize. One thing, and then you can go into your explanation of whatever it is, whatever the reasoning is, but you got to let them explain themselves first. Maybe even ask some questions, seek to understand, get a little bit more information so that you have the right understanding of what's going on. You don't need to defend your honor. You don't need to fix it. Okay, you just need to make it right. And sometimes making things right can just be being there for someone. I remember one time I was, you're going to feel like this is unrelated, but I promise it is. I was at a youth retreat working with teens, and I was skiing down a hill with a couple of teenagers. You know, they wanted to try this steeper hill, and one of the teens went down, and then the second one that wasn't as confident went down. And when they went down, I couldn't see them as they went down the mountain, but then when they came out of the bottom, you could see them reappear. It was in Ohio, so it wasn't really skiing. It was like a big hill, really, if you think about it. That's what they call ski resorts there. But it wasn't that big. It was maybe a 5-second delay between not being able to see them and then seeing them. And I remember, again, we went back up again. The first teenager went down. Boom, they reappear. The second teenager goes down. They don't reappear. And they don't reappear. And they don't reappear. So I started skiing down, and I find this teenager on the side of the mountain with their arm broke. They fell and broke their arm. And I remember sitting there, and I prayed for comfort, and I prayed for peace for them. But I remember just sitting there feeling so helpless. I can't do anything for this person. I can't do anything for this person. And eventually ski patrol came, and I went down with ski patrol, went to the thing, made sure they were comfortable, left, got there, found a way to get a hold of their family, got there. Their family happened to be there. They came over. Years later, they told me, they said, you know, we can never thank you enough. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. If anything, you should be mad at me, because I was the one that was out there skiing with them when they got hurt. Maybe I shouldn't have let them try that crazy mountain. But you know what they said? They said, no, you were just there. And I remember another pastor telling me, I was telling that story, and he was like, the ministry of presence is more powerful than anything you can do. Just being there for someone. Look, I want you guys to grasp this. When someone's frustrated, when someone's upset, you have an opportunity to be there for them. Whether you're at fault or not. Whether you're at fault or not. You have this opportunity to be there. And what you choose to do in that moment will dictate who you are, your reputation, your legacy, your companies, you as an individual. That's an opportunity. It's no longer an opportunity to make money. Now it's an opportunity to make someone's day better, to make it right. This is the part I have seen so many. The very first company I ever worked for, this owner never understood this principle. Still to this day, I think this person does stuff like this to people. But if they disagree with his business practice or model or service, he rejects them. He would reject the customer. Could you imagine that? You're frustrated. I've been in this situation. I remember I bought a couch. It's probably on my podcast not that long ago. We bought a $6,000 couch from a furniture store. We bought a ton of furniture from this place. All delivered, all paid in cash, all paid up front. Done, delivered, signed over, got the warranties, bought the stuff, did the things. Had a minor issue with something, and they fixed it, and then had a minor issue with my couch. But when they couldn't fix my couch, so they had to take it all apart. And when they did, they rewrapped it in a different kind of material, not a $6,000 material. And it wore down fast, and we kept having problems. Couch had more problems. When we went in to complain to the manager after not getting anywhere over the phones, even that guy guessed, the general manager guessed which couch it was, because that's a couch they commonly have problems with. And then they put us off. They just basically said, hey, look, we'll give you a $400 refund on your warranty. Like, I don't want a $400 refund on my warranty. I want the $6,000 couch I bought to be a $6,000 couch. And they weren't listening. I didn't feel understood. I didn't feel heard. I didn't feel like they cared. This stuff matters. You know, look, they're not going to go out of business because of me, but they do it enough. It's going to get around. I know I told people, I'm telling all of you, Boulevard in St. George, Utah, wrote a review, lit them up. That's what you do when you make people mad. That's what we do as businesses when we make people mad. And it's such an opportunity to make it right. Look, we were a year and a half into this journey with this couch and this furniture store, and I was still okay. But when they stopped trying, I was no longer okay. Okay, number one, you have to be apologetic. You got to have empathy in there. Okay, you got to actually care about their circumstance, whether it was your fault or not. Get rid of the pride. Don't worry about all that. Okay, number two, you got to understand what's going on. Okay, they have to feel like you care, and they have to feel like you understand before you can solve it, or they're going to trust your solution. So if you want to take somebody from angry to happy, if you want to take somebody to sad to happy, you have to fully, fully let them know that it is about them and you care and you want a resolution. And then number two, you have to understand the situation so you can then fix it. Okay, and then number three is so crucial. Now, before we get into that third one, look, there's tons of podcasts where we talk about business, we talk about sales, we talk about service, we talk about how to build relationships, how to value stack, how to offer things. We just talked on the last podcast, I think, about how to build that environment to be able to value stack. I was just a guest on Ryan England's show. It's a new podcast that's dropping, I think, on the fifth episode, but I have to get the name of that podcast. But we're on there just talking about how to value stack. So tons of information out there, but if you're not good at being empathetic, if you're not good at seeking to understand, a lot of the teaching I give you won't work because it really is me teaching you how to deal with people at the employee level, at the customer level, at the marketing level, and creating processes inside your company that help people navigate, hey, what do you offer to, that was a great experience. And I just really hope that you guys grab this stuff. Now, we just did a mastermind here in my office, about 30 owners showed up. This is limited to only the people in our top tier package. And you know, obviously only half of the companies could actually make it. So we had quite a few in here though. And we were talking about marketing, specifically talking about marketing, drilling deep into marketing, looking at the map and figuring out where the routes were that maybe other plumbers would be taking from the supply shop out into the field or from the supply shop back to their shop, and talking about specifically where to market and what to say and how to market and how to be in, like, getting deep into this thing, specifically into their business. And we do that with a lot of companies all the time in the program, right? That's what the program's all about, is helping you guys get to that next level. We have all the processes. We have literally everything you need to know on how to run a service plumbing company. There's, the only thing that you would have to go figure out on your own is how to file your taxes and make sure the IRS doesn't take it from you. So we pretty much teach you just about everything. And this episode right here is kind of like one of those episodes where, well, I only deal with that once in a great while. But what I hope we understand today is that we can take what I'm teaching, what I'm talking about doing here with people that are upset, and we can apply it to every consumer. We can always let them know we care. We can always seek to understand, okay? We can always, and quite honestly, when we're diagnosing the call, we could be doing this. When we're running the call, we can be doing this. When the CSRs are talking to the customers, we could be doing this. When the service managers are on the phone, they could be doing this. It's just about having the right content, the right conversation. We don't want the CSRs talking about plumbing, but we do want them talking about scheduling. We do want them talking about the fact that we care. You know, in our CSR workshop, we talk about this resounding thing of comfortability and reassurance. That's what the customer is calling for when they first book the call, is comfortability and reassurance. If you give them comfortability and reassurance, you're going to get the call. It's going to be on the board. That's the way that works. All this stuff matters. And what we're talking about today is what happens when it gets off the rails a little bit. But guess what? If this works getting it back on the rails, this will definitely work while it's on the rails, and it will keep it from ever getting off the rails. So instead of us getting good at recuperating after we screw up, how do we get in front of that? Well, we take the same teaching and we just apply it earlier in the process. You know, people always talk about overcoming objections in sales. I don't want to get good at overcoming objections. I want to get good at avoiding them. Just, they don't even come up at all. So I take what I would do when an objection comes up, and I find a way to scatter that throughout my process before the objection comes up to keep it from coming up. One small example would be when I sell water heaters. Anytime I'm quoting a water heater, I always let people know. Now, of course, you've always got that option where you can go to the big box store. That's not what we do. We don't offer those water heaters, but you could do that. They're between $500 and $1,200. I wouldn't recommend the cheapest one. I wouldn't recommend the most expensive one. They're all about the same, but that's what you're looking at. Couple things to note. When you buy one from them, they will help you with the installation. You'll pay for somebody. By the time it's all said and done, let's just say you get an $800 or $1,000 one, pay somebody $500-$600 for installation. Your warranty is back through the manufacturer. It's not with Lowe's, and it's not with that person that installed it. And then the labor is with that person, but not Lowe's and the manufacturer. So just depending on what goes wrong, what goes right, you'll have to call those different people. With us, we go to a supply shop. Your warranty is with us. It's with the supply shop, and it's with the manufacturer. You can get any of us. In fact, not that we're going to go out of business. If we ever did, we use such a common brand that any plumber in town can come out and work on this. I don't want to tell them the price of my water heater and then have them go, well, that's expensive. I can get one of Lowe's for $600. They're not going to say that to me because I already told them that. But guess what I was able to do? I was able to do it on my terms. So I was able to build some value into our brand, our water heater. That's dealing with it before it comes up. That's education and information. If I wait until after they complain, now it just sounds like a sales pitch. The same is true with your customers when they're upset. If you can get in front of this thing, it's a lot better than if you have to wait for them to be upset and you have to respond. Empathy. Okay, apology. I'm sorry, you're going through this. Have that basic mental state whenever you're dealing with any of your customers. And number two, make sure that they know that you're listening to them. Ask questions, seek to understand. Okay, this is the same stuff we'll be teaching at the Water Heater Softener School, except we'll be getting deeper into it and we'll be applying it. If you're not coming to that school and you're listening to this podcast, this is going to be the most expensive training you didn't go to. I promise this will probably be our best one. Two full days. Gonna bring it. Now, look, this third thing that you got to do. Okay, it's pretty obvious here at this point. What I typically would say is transition. Okay, you've been empathetic. You've heard them out. You felt sorry. You let them know that you care. But at the same time, you also understand their situation. Now we can transition. Now we can transition to what we have, what we offer, what we think, what our value is, whatever we're dealing with. We're dealing with an upset customer. Let's say the customer thinks that you screwed up because you're too expensive. I would say, you know, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's not something we typically hear. Do you mind me asking you a question? Like, what were you expecting? What were you thinking that this was going to cost? Okay. Do you mind me asking how, like, where you maybe just got that from or what you were thinking? Is that something from past experience? And I'm just understanding where they got this pricing from, why they think it should have been so cheap and whatever their complaint is. And then I can transition. Well, normally it would be. However, in your situation, it was a little bit abnormal or whatever the answer is. Look, oftentimes when we try to tell somebody something, if we try to deliver it at the wrong time, it will not be received well, no matter what we're saying. If we do it at the right time, it can be received well. It's not possible to be received well when you're at the phase of, I'm supposed to be empathetic and I'm supposed to let you know I care. It will not be received well when you're at the phase of seeking to understand and letting them know I fully understand their situation. Because if I don't think you care and I don't think you understand my situation, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm the one with something to say. I'm the disgruntled customer. I'm the one with a charge to bring. I'm the one with the complaint. I'm the one with an accusation. Okay, it's my turn. That's how this works. That's service. Yeah, well, the customer isn't always right. You're right. The customer isn't always technically right, logically right, but they're always emotionally right. And it's not so much that I agree with them. It's just that I recognize the reality that they think they're right and they hold the power. And I think they hold the power because I'm the one making money off this opportunity. It's like we started out with, every relationship is an opportunity to impact the world positively, an opportunity to serve the world positively, could mentor someone, could be a positive example, can also be negative. Okay, in service plumbing, we get an opportunity to flip people's lives upside down, right side up. Meaning they wake up and their life's been dismantled, it's been derailed, and we get a chance to get them back on track. That's what we get, an opportunity. And when pride gets in the way because the work is too hard or the customer doesn't value us, the issue isn't with them, it's with us. We've got to do a better job of building value. We've got a job. Look, I've been on so many calls. There's no way at this point. I mean, it would be easy for me to say 10,000 calls, some crazy number like that, where I've been on calls now and it's in homes across the U.S., even up in Canada. I've had the upset customer, the customer that's short with me. I've had the customer that won't stop talking. I've had the super nice, the super mean. I've been there when it's cold, been there when it's hot. And guess what? When I care about people, when I understand their situation, they listen to what I have to say. It's that simple. Whether they're mad, they're not mad, they want to buy, they don't want to buy, they want to spend money, they don't want to spend money, it's all the same at the end of the day. People serving people. Get out of your own way. Don't let pride be the shortcoming of your success. Don't let pride be the thing. Don't let some circumstance today that irritates you affect your ability to be successful tomorrow, because tomorrow you're going to forget about today, but you're going to be living with the result of it. Okay, tomorrow you're going to forget about today, but you're going to be living with the result of it. Don't live emotionally so you have crap life going forward. Live logically so you have opportunity going forward. Okay, don't live emotionally so that you're shortcutting yourself from opportunity. Live logically so you can build on that opportunity, seize that opportunity, take advantage of that opportunity. You want to know how I built 3 different businesses, 7 figures? How we built this business to, I think we've done about 5 or 6 million now in a couple year run. How did we do that? How did we do that? Well, we created opportunity. We made the phone ring and then we went out and we took care of that phone call. We served it and then we repeated that. And we constantly worked on one thing that would make one of those two things better. That's how you do a business. In fact, in the next podcast, we're going to talk about my 2+1 model. Now, making the phone ring and converting the call is the true business and everything else is more about scaling that business. And we're going to talk specifically about how to do that. If I was starting my business from day one, what I would do all the way up to if I had a $10 million a month business, it wouldn't change anything. Now, it might look different, but it wouldn't change the framework. It wouldn't change the recipe. All right, look, here's the bottom line. You need to start considering the fact that people are not in their best state when they're calling a plumbing company and you're waking up going into the business that you own or the business that you work for, whatever. It's a normal day for you. For them, they are dealing with something they don't want to be dealing with. It is your job to be empathetic. It is your job to seek to understand. And then it's your job to transition into the solutions that can make their life get back on track. I love you guys. And as always, remember, serve your communities in everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.